Welcome to the Deep Dive Podcast. Our goal is to help you cultivate a regular practice of spending time in God's Word. We take a deeper look at the passages we are reading each week in order to help you encounter the life-changing love of God in Scripture. This podcast is a companion to our weekly reading plan. Check out the podcast description for a link to that. And thanks for joining us. Let's dive in. Hello, podcast listeners. Welcome to the Deep Dive. Don't laugh at me. Okay, my friend Beth Hoffman, who is our guest today, as soon as I started, she started laughing at me, and I take that personally. So anyway, no. Welcome to the Deep Dive. You guys who've been following along with us, we're reading through the book of Hebrews. And so each week we have a podcast episode where we talk about the reading for that week, and the whole point of us talking about this is to maybe give you some information to kind of keep in the back of your mind while you're reading this text, but also just to kind of get you inspired, excited about what you're going to learn this week as you dig into Hebrews chapter 2. That's where we are this week, Hebrews chapter 2. If this is the first podcast episode that you've listened to, go ahead and push pause right now and go all the way back to the first one, to the introduction to Hebrews. Listen to that first, okay? And if you're listening to the podcast, but you're not reading along with us in the book of Hebrews, you're missing the most important part. As awesome as I am, and as amazing as Beth is, we're not the point of all this. The whole point of it is for you to spend time in the book of Hebrews, listening to the Holy Spirit of God. So, okay, I've already let the cat out of the bag. Each week, I try to invite really intelligent, amazing, gifted people to sit down with me and to discuss scripture, and this week is no exception. My friend Beth Hoffman is here, and Beth is an amazing person that it's going to be difficult for me to sum up in a few short lines. Her job is that she's ministry assistant for the Office of Spiritual Life and for the Office of Christian Studies, Department of Christian Studies at Wayland Baptist University in Plainview, Texas. We have been friends for many moons. We're not going to get into how long because that would reveal my age. But Beth and I have been friends for a long time. We worked together at a church in Plainview where I was a pastor, and Beth was pretty much everything else. And so we had a really great time working together, serving together in ministry there. But we've been friends for a long time, and I'm really excited for my podcast friends out there to meet Beth Hoffman. Beth, what do our tens and tens of listeners, what do they need to know about you? Share a little bit about yourself, Beth Hoffman.
Well, I'm just pretty chill, honestly.
Yeah, you're chill. That's true.
There's not a lot to me, Brad. I don't know why you even set me up like that.
That's not even true, but go ahead.
I have my master's in business administration.
Yes.
And I also just finished a master's of arts in theological studies. Yeah. With my thesis.
Yes.
Which was absolutely awful, but I achieved it and I'm done with that. So
good work.
Yes.
So, okay. So you just said, I'm pretty chill. There's not much to me. And then casually mentioned that you have two master's degrees. So that's enough of that. Okay.
Okay. All right.
That's enough of underselling yourself.
Fair enough.
So, Beth is a really, really intelligent, gifted person who loves Jesus. And so I'm really excited to have her here, and we're in the book of Hebrews. So let me just remind all of our podcast listeners of a couple of quick things, okay? As you will remember, if you've been paying attention to the podcast and you've been kind of reading through this with us, Hebrews is different from a lot of other kind of books that we read in the New Testament. Hebrews is not really a letter, not like some of the letters that Paul wrote, like Corinthians or Galatians, or you know, it's not really a letter like that. It's really kind of more of a sermon. And it feels more of it like a sermon, and in fact, a lot of scholars think that that's what it is. It's a kind of a transcription, or at least some attempt to record the sermon of a gifted, you know, preacher in the first century, maybe Apollos, right? We don't know, but it's much more of a sermon. So you got to keep that in the back of your mind, because he kind of wades through some really difficult and even like deep kind of doctrinal theological stuff. But man, there's so much rich, beautiful stuff here. And the other quick thing to remember is that we just finished in chapter 1 talking about how the whole point of Hebrews is that Jesus is superior, that he's supreme. And I actually think it's really ironic, Beth, that you and I are having a conversation, and it's kind of at the tail end of the author of Hebrews talking about angels a lot. It's weird that we're talking about that because we have some history around angels, don't we?
I don't have any idea what you're talking about.
No idea. Mm-mm. No idea how the 8-foot, 1,000-pound angel ended up in the driveway of my house.
You know what? Patrice likes her new home, and that's all I'm going to say.
So anyway, that's a story for another day, Beth. We'll Absolutely. Tell that story another day. But today we're in Hebrews chapter 2, and let's just kind of walk through this together, Beth. Okay. Before we went on air, friends, Beth and I decided that we were going to kind of take this through sections. And so we're going to look first at Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And so, Beth, as you look at Hebrews 2, 1 through 4, what is it that kind of jumped out at you in that section? How did the Lord speak to you? You know, what is it that you kind of want to talk about in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4?
I mean, the first thing that stands out to me is the word therefore, the very first word in chapter 2.
Yeah.
That's a constant reminder for us to look back at mm-hmm. what was just said.
Yep.
So this is a continuation of whatever Tyler was talking about last week, yes. right?
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
So, therefore, we must pay greater attention to what we have heard.
Uh-huh.
So it's talking about like we've got to lock in what's going yes. on around us and what we've heard, the sermons that we've heard, the mm-hmm. the message that has been spoken, yeah. the things that we've heard about Jesus.
Yes, right.
We've got to lock into that because the next phrase is because drifting away is a strong possibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I grew up in this world where I had the privilege of having a lake house as a child.
Okay, nice.
And it was so fun.
Yeah.
Like I loved it. My family would go and all of our extended family.
Yeah.
And we always took floaties.
Mm, yes.
One of them was this fantastic crocodile that we always took. Like, I love this crocodile, okay? Who doesn't love a floaty crocodile?
No, nobody. Everybody Absolutely. Loves that. Everybody loves that.
And so we took this crocodile, and every year we lost the crocodile. It became the lake crocodile.
Yeah.
But it was always the joke that it was the crocodile that was across the lake.
Yes.
Because it never failed that we would forget to tie it to something.
Yeah.
And it would just drift
mm.
all the way across the lake to a place where it wasn't supposed to be, where it wasn't meant to be.
Right, right, right.
And I think it's so easy for us to forget, like, we are supposed to be tying to this anchor of this beautiful message that we've heard.
Right. Yeah.
And we end up all the way across the lake in a land that we don't even recognize.
Yes.
And it doesn't happen intentionally. Nobody right. drifts intentionally.
Right.
And so we've got to pay such close attention
yeah.
to the people that we're surrounding us with, to the people that we're anchoring ourselves to.
Yeah.
To the message that we are pouring into ourselves.
Yeah, man, that's so good. And I love that you pointed out that nobody intentionally drifts. I mean, the word itself implies that you're not paying attention and you're just kind of going with whatever the currents are, you know?
Right.
And you're so right. Like in our lives, that is a constant issue. And honestly, you know, the author of Hebrews is really digging in on this because these folks that he's writing to, and just as a reminder, friends, these are Jewish Christians who living maybe in Rome or maybe even in Palestine. We don't know, really know. But what we do know is that this is a group of people who had experienced, who have in the past experienced a great deal of persecution, maybe experiencing some of it right now. And certainly, whether they're in Rome or whether they're in Palestine, they're about to go through a really difficult season, whether they know it or not, right? And so one of the main points of this sermon is to encourage them not to drift away from the gospel because some of them were being tempted to kind of fall back into the religious tradition and into the kind of religious practice that they had practiced before.
Right.
That was a path of less resistance. Being a Jewish person in the Roman Empire wasn't illegal. You know, they had actually legal standing in the Roman Empire, but these new Christians, you know, were starting to draw the ire of some folks. And so it was kind of easier to fall back maybe into these old forms, these old habits. And so he really wants to encourage them not to do that. So we're going to hear all throughout the book of Hebrews, this admonishment to like, look, guard your heart, carefully mind your heart, you know,
yes.
and make sure that you're not drifting away from the message.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So yeah, so that definitely is one of the things that just stands right out from the first because as soon as I read that I was like, yeah, that's me. I I drift away. Us ADHD people,
absolutely.
Yeah, we are always drifting.
There's always something else that draws my attention.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And it's good to, like, it's good to, once again, circle back around that, you know, drifting is a passive thing.
Right.
Right. But ensuring that you don't drift is actually a very proactive thing.
Absolutely.
Like, you have to be really intentional about anchoring yourself, as you said, to something and what it is that you're anchoring to. So, because I know plenty of times where I have been out somewhere, you know, we'd have the John boat or something out there, mm-hmm. and I would tie that thing off to something, and it was a bad choice, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Because it wasn't strong enough to hold the rope, and next thing you know, that thing was gone. Anyway, so being really proactive about what you're anchoring to matters a whole lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so what else? What else jumps out in this little section here?
Okay, so the next part, like, it goes into talking about if we will listen to what angels have to say, yes. how much more should we listen to what Jesus has to say?
Right.
And I remember back to, I just finished a big study on angels appearing to people.
Okay, cool.
Which is so much fun. I had a lot of questions, but yeah. as you would.
Yeah, yeah.
But like angels would appear and they would be these terrifying experiences for people.
Right.
And I immediately think to the foretelling of the birth of John the Baptist.
Yes, yeah.
When his dad, Hezekiah.
No, Zechariah.
Zechariah.
It was a Z name. I can't remember.
I know. Yeah. When Zechariah saw the angel in the holy place, like he was performing his priestly duties.
Yes.
And this angel appears and he's like, I don't think you know what you're talking about.
Yes.
And you're like, you clearly don't pay attention to what this crazy image is in front of you.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But then he had no choice but to pay attention.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like immediately he went silent until the birth of John the Baptist.
Right. Yeah.
And his first words are, God is good, and here we go.
Yeah,
you know, like right. it's hard not to pay attention when things like that happen in such extreme ways.
Yeah, right.
And it's telling us, like, if we are going to pay attention to what the angels have to say and how they're directing us,
yeah,
how much more should we be paying attention to the words that Jesus, who was also God, has to say?
Yes, yeah, exactly. And it's picking up on this whole conversation that he's just been having about how Jesus is superior to the angels in chapter one.
Right.
And so he's kind of, you know, carrying that through this next argument. Another thing too that he's doing here is that, you know, the law, in talking about what the angels have to say, you know, he's also kind of alluding to the law, right? Because you know, this was something that was just divinely given. Moses goes up on the mountain and he comes down with these tablets, right? And so,
right.
And so the law is kind of divinely given. And so there's a sense in which he's saying that, you guys are super serious about the law and making sure you're paying attention to the law, making sure you're, you know,
right.
And so, but Jesus, so one of the things he's kind of saying here too, and he'll say it more even later, is so Jesus is supreme over everything. He's the fulfillment of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things is the law. And this is one place where he's going to make it, but he's going to make it over and over again in Hebrews that Jesus fulfills, you know, the law. And so that is an important aspect of this whole conversation that's kind of getting kicked off right here.
Yeah.
So, but you know, I don't know. We're not going to get into that yet, but there's something else that I was going to talk about, but later on,
okay.
we'll talk about it later. But I think that's really important. We've got to pay close attention. We've got to go deeper into the truth and life, which is ours because we belong to the Messiah. So, but there's intentionality involved in all of that.
Absolutely.
Stuff, you know? So, okay. Anything else in that first little section?
I think that's all I got for that section.
Okay. One thing that I wanted to point out too here. So, he's saying in here, you know, you see if the word, this is verse 2, you see if the word which was spoken through the angels was reliable with appropriate punishment every time people broke it or disobeyed it, how will we escape if we ignore a rescue such as this? So if we ignore Jesus's rescue, you know, how will we escape, you know, if you got in trouble when you broke the law, how much more trouble would you get into if you ignored the rescue of Jesus, you know?
Right.
So, but anyway, it started by declaring through the Lord and it was confirmed by those who heard him and God bore witness as well along with them in signs and wonders and many different types of powerful deeds, and by the Holy Spirit distributed in accordance to his will. So this thing that God did through Jesus was testified to by all these people who bore witness, right? But also by God himself.
Right.
And then also by all these signs and wonders. So he's like, look, we got to listen to this because there's this divine authority that was given to it. And so we of all people ought to know, we got to pay attention to this rescue. We can't allow ourselves to drift from it.
Right.
And so I wanted to point that out. But one other quick thing that we often imagine all these passages in very individualistic and personal senses.
Right.
But they're never meant like that because that's not the world that the author of Hebrews is writing in or writing to.
Right.
So one of the things that we've got to be particularly, we want to be careful about drifting away. Mm-hmm. But let me think of an analogy. Like if let's say that there was a group of canoes, or you know when you go tubing, like on the Guadalupe
yes,
River,
absolutely.
And you tie your tubes together,
yeah.
You know, and maybe you need to get to a certain place so everybody's kind of rowing, but then you might have two or three people in the back that are just, you know what I mean? Just
yeah.
digging into the coolers and just hanging out and not even paying attention to what's going on.
Oh, absolutely.
That there's somebody like that in every group, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So, but they can create all kinds of problems because they're not really focused. They're not really helping. They're right. kind of a drag on everybody else because they're drifting and you may be trying to pull, but their drift is making you drag.
Right.
And so there's always a sense when we're reading these things that we have to remember to put it in this communal context, which was the first mm-hmm. century. And we got to understand that the part of what we want to do is not only not drift away from the truth ourselves, but we want to be people who encourage other people toward relationship with Christ and not people who kind of drag everybody else down around us.
Absolutely.
And which is something that happens when we drift from the truth too.
Yeah.
So anyway, okay. All right. That's good because us Western people, when we read this stuff, we think of it always in these individual terms and it's not always like that. Okay. So what about 5-9? Anything and nothing else in 1-4? You good
no,
there?
No, I'm good there.
Okay, so what about verses 5-9? He starts off, you see, God didn't place the world to come, which is what I'm writing about, under the control of angels. Someone has spoken of it somewhere in these terms, and then he quotes from the Psalms, right?
Yes.
So what jumps out at you at that? What really spoke to you in that little section?
I always find it interesting when people quote Old Testament texts.
Yes.
Like clearly this person who was giving this message understood Old Testament.
Right.
He understood historical texts.
Yes, right.
And so I think it's really important for us to pay attention to what he says
yeah.
and how this person reiterates that in his own personal message.
Right, yeah.
And so you see some of the same words happen in verse 8 and mm-hmm. verse 9 or 10.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
you see the same things just happen, being crowned in glory.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's such beautiful imagery mm-hmm. just to tie on to.
Yeah.
But even some of us as Westerners don't understand like what it means to be crowned in glory.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
And so I think that's an important thing for us to like fixate on and focus mm-hmm. on, because it's important for us to understand what that means
mm-hmm.
and the weight that carries.
Yeah. 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 We've never, you know, maybe we watched it on TV, you know, a
right.
coronation
yes.
of a king, you know, but in the ancient world that when that crown was placed on, you know, the King of England, you know, King Charles, when he was just, you know, went through his coronation, you know, he's basically like a figurehead, you know, really, right. he doesn't have any real political authority or might in the real world, you know,
yeah.
But in the ancient world, I mean, what was happening when that person received the crown is they were receiving the authority over the lives of everyone in that kingdom. Like
yes.
all of the land, all of the riches, all of the people in that kingdom, their very lives, all of it was subject to the authority of that king. He could take it anytime he wanted. He could
right.
give whatever he wanted. So when we read like crowned in glory, you know, sometimes that image, we don't understand how
right.
powerful of an image that is.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And so this is Jesus, right? Who, you know, the author says, he says, what we do see is the one who was for a little while made lower than the angels, that is Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering and the death, right? Because of his suffering and death, so that by God's grace he might taste death on behalf of everyone. So it's this deal where, so Jesus did, he became human. He humbled himself. He was placed in human form, but now he has been placed over everything. That's what the author of Hebrews wants to say. He's been given all of the authority. But the whole point of that is that his suffering and his death would be on behalf of all of us,
right?
You know, which is an incredible thing. The one who was crowned in glory died on behalf of all of us.
Yes.
Just, that's crazy stuff. Crazy stuff. What else? Anything else that you want to talk about in that little section?
I do think it's important to note that, like, in the Old Testament text that he's quoting in Psalms,
mm-hmm.
He's talking about, like, who are we as humans that you would give us this power?
Yeah.
And yeah. I think that's something that we all forget, that we, in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were placed in authority over the animals. Like, they named the things of the earth.
Right, yeah.
And that's that level of authority, again, that I think we forget to realize that we have
mm-hmm.
when we move forward in the world, yeah. And when we look at the world around us, like, mm-hmm. we can call these things out because we have authority over the things of this world too.
Yes, right. And because it comes from the Holy Spirit, comes right. from God. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. That's good. I was one of the things that I love about this. So the quotation there is from Psalm 8. Yeah, that's right. Psalm 8. And but he's talking the anytime you see that, like, son of man phrase, like mm-hmm. in verse 6, someone has spoken somewhere in these terms. What are humans that you should remember them? What is the son of man that you should take thought for him? So your translation, this is your translation may sound different than that, but that phrase son of man, to a Jewish reader, could have just meant, like, human being,
right?
You know, a typical human being, okay? But anybody who's read, like, Daniel, mm-hmm. or who listened to the teachings of Jesus, knows that term also could mean Messiah, could refer to
right.
the Messiah.
Absolutely.
And Jesus actually calls himself the Son of Man. And so, so I want to think and the author of Hebrews is aware of all of this, mm-hmm. right? And so he's saying this incredible thing that I think it's important for us to know, right? So just as Jesus is the culmination, the fulfillment, right?
Right.
Of, he's not just superior over the angels. He's the fulfillment of the purpose of the angels, which is to communicate God's message to humanity, right?
Right.
He fulfills that purpose. He's not just he's the fulfillment of the temple. He's the fulfillment of the law, okay? But one thing sometimes that we miss is he's also the fulfillment of humanity.
Right.
And as son of man, he's typical human. He's what humanity was created and designed to be from the very beginning.
Absolutely.
And so while we talk about Jesus being fully God and fully human, one of the things that we mean by that is that humanity is at its fullest and truest form in the person of Jesus.
Absolutely.
And so I think that's something that sometimes we kind of, like, skip to, because we tend to think of humanity, and rightly so, we tend to think of humanity as sinful, fallen, broken, and we are all of those things, right?
Right.
But what we were created to be was what you just said, right? Stewards of everything.
Yes.
In creation. Authority over everything in creation. And that's what we're created to be. And all of that reaches its fullest extent in the person of Jesus. But what that means then, right, is that, because the end of all of that, Jesus, Son of Man, you know, what he does
right.
is offer himself, sacrifice himself on the cross. And so just in case you were wondering, as Christians, we should expect that our life would involve sacrifice.
Yes.
We should expect that our life would cost something
yes.
of us, that things about us would have to die. We have to lay things down on the altar. We should expect that. If Jesus, the one who fulfills everything that we're supposed to be, if that happened with him,
right.
then we should expect this should happen to us too.
Absolutely.
So anyway, that's one of the things that I was reminded of when I was reading this passage. Anything else from there that jumped out at you from 5 through 9?
Yeah,
yeah. Jesus represents Israel as its Messiah too, you know? Mm-hmm. So one of the things that Israel was supposed to be was this nation of priests, and you're get, and I mean, he gets into it later. He right. really gets into it later. But they were, they're supposed to like demonstrate God's character to the world and lead the lead creation in the worship of the one true God. Right. Mm-hmm. And Jesus fulfills that purpose, you know, so there's all these things that the author of Hebrews say that Jesus completely fulfills, right. you know? So then he gets down to verses 10 through 18. And this is the last little part of Hebrews. And let's just read here. I'm going to read this from New Living. So, okay. Verses 10 through 18. Backing up. Yes, by God's grace, Jesus tasted death for everyone. Then it says, verse 10, God, for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many children into glory. And it was only right that he should make Jesus, through his suffering, a perfect leader, fit to bring them into salvation. So can we just stop right there maybe and talk about that?
Absolutely.
Because there's a lot of rich stuff in there. But anything that in that little part of there that kind of jumps out at you or that you wanted to, that you just noticed when you're reading through there?
In the bringing of many children to mm-hmm. salvation, mm-hmm. not all children.
Right.
You know, that I think that's important for us as Baptists to have a conversation about.
Right,
like,
right.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
And how do we have to understand what these words say?
Yes. Yeah. 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 And just so you know, Beth is referring to like an age old argument of, I mean, seriously, almost from the beginning, an age old argument about, you know, does God predestine some people to salvation and some people to damnation, right?
Right.
Or do we have some agency? Is there some way in which we get to choose faith in Christ? Which is an important conversation because you see both sides of it all throughout Scripture.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So, and we don't know that. As far as I can tell, both of those things are true. God is absolutely completely sovereign, you know, and we have some free will in the matter. And somehow, even though that doesn't quite make sense to me, how that those two things could coexist, God's fine with it. So I don't understand how it works, but somehow it works. But the fact is that not all are going to enter into salvation.
Right.
There are some people who, for whatever reason, right, mm-hmm. are not going to grasp, understand, surrender themselves to the truth of who Christ is, and that is that's a truth that ought to weigh heavy.
Honestly, it should.
Yeah.
I know me as someone who enjoys going on mission trips and I even worked at a summer camp for 10 and a half years.
Yeah.
There were always those kids that like, I wanted to try so hard to show them who Jesus was.
Right. Yeah.
And I'll never know if some of them figured it out. If some of them made that connection with their heart. It's hard to even get it in your head, but to try to explain how to understand something like that in your heart, it's just so... There's not words.
Yeah.
There's not. It's just not possible. It's a faith. It's a feeling. It's a love that we can't explain.
Mm-hmm.
And to know that, like, I have, as someone who doesn't have children.
Right.
I have prayed for these kids.
Yes.
How much more, like, does that weigh on parents who have children? Who
right. Yeah.
Maybe their child isn't going to choose to follow the Lord.
Yeah. Or maybe their child's not right now. And so they're like, what's going on?
You know? Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What does the future look like? And I guarantee you, I got two pretty great kids, but I've stayed up at night many times, concerned about them, worried about choices that they were making. And so definitely that weighs on our parents.
Absolutely. And that's not something that's new to our world.
Mm-mm,
like, no. I think it's important for us to remember that's an age old thing that people have struggled with not everyone will come to know the Lord.
Yeah. Yes. And another thing that I think is really beautiful about this though, but it says, everything exists for the sake of God. And because of him, it was appropriate that in bringing many children to glory, he should make perfect through suffering the one who leads the way to salvation. So there's no question in here of who is bringing the children. Right. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like it's clearly God is bringing his children into salvation.
Yes.
And so I think that's a really beautiful thing for us to remember too, is that when we come to faith in Christ, you know, and certainly our will is involved in that somehow. There's an act of surrender that's involved, right? And that's why it's so hard, I think, for some people to get to faith in Christ, because we have to lay ourselves down, and that's such a difficult thing to do.
But that sacrifice from the section before.
Exactly. Yeah. But we're not just trying to fight our and claw our way to God. Right. It's not like that. Like, God has come to us. God is holding our hands and drawing us into his salvation. That's what's happening.
Right.
And it's important and beautiful to remember that that's who our God is.
Yes. You know,
and that's what he did. And that's what the author of Hebrews is saying. That's what he did in the suffering and the death of Jesus Christ. That's what he did for us.
Right.
You know, which is awesome. So, man, and there's surely a sense of community in here too, because, you know, we're talking about the children, right? We're talking about the body, you know, not just talking about individuals, but about the whole body of Christ.
Right.
So, anything? What else? What else kind of jumps at you in this last little section here?
The last sentence on mm-hmm. that, for this reason, Jesus was not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters.
Yeah, right.
I think a lot of the times, me as a person who is sinful, who is flawed, I think that I am not worthy.
Yep.
And I know you and I have had this conversation so often, because, you know, sometimes I just like the wrong path. and I can say that in humility now, But I know that I'm flawed as a person, and even though I think that I'm making the right choice, when I find out that I have drifted.
Yes. Yeah.
I think that I don't deserve to be put back in that place of mm-hmm. being called family,
mm-hmm.
being held in esteem and being crowned with glory and honor.
I think
that's something that is really important for us to understand, that our mistakes aren't the end.
Exactly. Yeah. Boy, Beth, that's really good. There's so much that kind of jumped to my mind while you were saying that, but I know there are people listening to this podcast who are in that same situation that you're in sometimes, because of mistakes that they've made, or because of how they've drifted away in the past. It's hard for them to imagine that they're received in this way, that Christ isn't ashamed to call them brother, right. sister. I mean, that's kind of like, it's almost so scandalous. And I've felt this way before too, so I'm with you on this, right?
Absolutely.
like it's almost an affront when somebody says it to me. Like, it instead of like being a comfort, sometimes it makes me want to throat punch a person. Like,
I feel like you've threatened me that
yeah,
way.
Yeah. It's easy for you to say that, but you don't know what I did, right? You don't know how I messed up, you
exactly.
know. It's funny for a person like you to say that, you know, because you don't know where I've been, you know.
Right.
But what we're talking about here is a God who absolutely knows.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And still Jesus is unashamed to call us brother and sister.
Right.
And the reason is because of his death, because of what he gave up, yes. because of his sacrifice. That's why he's not ashamed.
Right.
Right. And that's just crazy. So, one thing, there's a few things in here that, because this section is really where, man,
mm-hmm.
there's so much rich stuff in this section, but the writer of Hebrews kind of imagines Jesus as a pioneer, right? As the one who leads the way. So like, and I remember giving a talk, is actually at Wayland.
Yes.
Okay. At the, you know, when we did the color thing, and I was talking about what a pioneer was. And so a pioneer is a person who leaves behind comfort, family, you know, who left behind, you know, a stable, sure life, and they went in the hopes of making a better life for themselves and for their family. They went to this unknown place, you know,
yes.
to try to do that. But in going to that place, they also blazed a trail that others could follow behind, so that they could see how to get there. That's what a pioneer is.
Right.
And so so the writer of Hebrews is kind of setting Jesus up like that. He's this person who, for our sake, he went to this place, you know, suffering and death and resurrection. He went to this place on our behalf, right?
Right.
But in doing it, he showed us where we're supposed to go, how we're supposed to go.
Yes.
And so we love to talk about that when we're talking about like resurrection from the dead, you know? Yes. So yes, he showed us the way, you know, but we don't necessarily like to talk about it when we're talking about suffering and death,
right?
Which is also a part of the equation.
Right.
And I love to tell people at our church, look, there's, there is no salvation apart from death. Scripture tells us over and over again that we have to die. And even bury the baptism symbol is buried with him in his death and raised to walk in newness. When you go under the waters, you're buried as Christ was buried, yes. Raised to walk in newness. So there's a death part. We have to die to ourselves. We have to lay ourselves down and surrender ourselves. And there's no getting around that. And the writer of Hebrews wants us to kind of understand that in that little section. So anyway, that's one thing. Another thing, I wanted to get your thought on this. We kind of talked about it, but all of this stuff, all this salvation and everything, it was accomplished through the death of Jesus,
right.
Through his suffering and death. Yeah. And so we need to remember what we call him. So people may not recognize this, but there's a quote in here, and it's from Psalm 22:22.
Yes.
So I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters. That's from Psalm 22:22. So one thing that we don't understand though sometimes, Beth, whenever we see these like little one-liner quote, the king of it is Paul. Paul in Romans does this all the time.
Oh yeah.
He would throw out this one little, and it can lead to misinterpretation, which it totally has.
In absolutely.
Romans chapter 9 and other places.
Right.
But he'll throw out this little one line of a psalm or of a passage from the Old Testament, but it's a very familiar psalm, and he'll throw it out because you know, writing material was super expensive.
Right.
They didn't have, and writing itself, I mean, they wrote in these tiny little letters, no capitals. I mean, it was in no spaces, no periods, no nothing, right? So writing material was very expensive. So they weren't going to quote, like, very rarely do you see long passages quoted.
Yes.
What they would do is they would quote one sentence,
mm-hmm.
and if it was something that was really familiar, it would bring all of that whole passage rushing back to your mind, and you would remember that whole passage.
Yes.
So Psalm 22 is absolutely one of those psalms that everybody knew, right? And as soon as he quotes this one sentence, anybody who was reading this, anybody who was hearing it, would have remembered all of Psalm 22.
Right.
And do we remember what Psalm 22 is about? In fact, you may want to just push pause and go read Psalm 22 right now. Because all of Psalm 22 is about suffering and death. And in fact, it's from Psalm 22 that Jesus quotes whenever he's on, and it's so familiar, all Jewish people memorize it. So Jesus, in his dying moments, was quoting the Psalms, right? Because they were ingrained in his soul, right? And when he's on the cross, he quotes Psalm 22 and he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's what Psalm 22 is about.
Right.
And the author here is aware of a couple of things. He's aware of what Psalm 22 is about, probably also aware that his readers knew that Jesus quoted Psalm 22 when he was on the cross,
yes,
and he's reminding them viscerally, like theologically, of this passage they were all familiar with, but viscerally of this image that some of them may have even seen.
Right.
Some of them may have even been standing there,
yes,
when Jesus was crucified, right? And if not, they certainly heard about it, right? And so he's graphically reminding them. I think that's important for us to note. He's not just talking about Jesus' suffering and death in these like esoteric philosophical
right.
terms. He's reminding them in this brutal visual image that they knew all about. If they hadn't seen Jesus crucified, they had seen crucifixion, and they knew what that was about. And when he quotes that passage, he's bringing all of that into their heads right. in that moment,
absolutely.
Which is important for us to remember. Man, yeah. Anyway, that's some good stuff. That like if you're not really paying attention, you might miss that. You know, the people who got this original letter, they didn't, or this original sermon, they didn't miss that. They,
right,
as soon as he said it, they all thought of it. But you and I don't often think of it in that way.
Absolutely.
So the last little part. Oh, and in suffering and dying on behalf of his people, Jesus becomes the true high priest. You know, because he's talking about how he's a leader of his people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where is that? Isn't that? Anyway, so he becomes, and then he's going to unpack this. The author of Hebrews is going to keep unpacking this later on. But he becomes the true high priest, the fulfillment of all of that, who makes atonement for sins. Because that was the job of the high priest, to offer sacrifice that atone for sins. So, but he does it in his body. And remember in chapter 1, we talked about that, y'all. We talked about we haven't talked about it yet. It's actually in chapter 9. But anyway, the high priest would go and would offer a sacrifice for the people for atonement of their sins. But Jesus in Hebrews, the author of Hebrews is going to say, Jesus was the high priest who sacrificed himself.
Right.
He put himself on the altar, which is a whole other level of scandal. But anyway, okay, so the third element here is the suffering and dying. That's the third element. That it's the high priest that's doing that, right? He becomes the fulfillment of the high priest. So let me read this last thing. This is from N.T. Wright, but let me read this last thing, and I want to hear your thoughts on it. He says, he's no distant Jesus. He is no distant older brother, unable to cross the gulf to rescue his siblings, right? He shared in flesh and blood and even death itself. There's nothing we face today, or tomorrow, or the next day in which Jesus cannot sympathize, help, and rescue us, and through which he cannot forge a way to God's new world.
Mm.
And so he's kind of wrapping up what the author of Hebrews is saying in that last little section, because he says in verse 18, he himself has suffered, you see, through being put to the test. And that's why he's able to help those who are being tested right now. So you guys are going through hard times right now. But guess what? Jesus can sympathize. Why? Right. Because he suffered.
Right.
You know? So I want to hear your thoughts about that. Like, what does that mean in Beth Hoffman world?
First, I think it's really important for us to tie that back to statements that were already said before. Mm-hmm. It's highlighted in my Bible in verse 9. It starts with, but we do see Jesus.
Uh-huh.
We've lost hope, but we do see Jesus, and Jesus is our hope.
Right.
Yeah. And so when we look at the end of this, and we're reminded of what Jesus did for us, how he was a pioneer, uh-huh. and how he paved and blazed a way for us.
Yeah.
Like we see this really beautiful thing coming to life that maybe is easy for us to miss if we are born and raised up in faith.
Right. Yep.
I think for some of us who come to know the Lord later mm-hmm. in life, like we have more of a hands-on experience of what it looks like to know that what Jesus saved us from.
Yes, right.
And so I think that's a reminder for those people more than mm-hmm. anything else is, look, Jesus walked a life, and he took on everything that you were supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
He made a way, and he offers this gift to you.
Yeah, right.
And so I think that's just so important. And for me as a person who spent a significant amount of time straying away,
mm-hmm.
That entire paragraph just brings so much hope.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I love that. You know, I never thought about this till you just said that, you know, but you know, all of what the author of Hebrews is writing, he's writing to people who kind of had, because they were Jewish people, right? They had this identity as, you know, the God's special possession, his chosen mm-hmm. people. Right. And so they tended to kind of see themselves as, having it together more than other people in the world, right. even when their own history demonstrated how much they often failed at that, just like all of us do. But but there was a sense, and Paul has to address this in Romans and other places, Galatians, you know. So, but there is this, he's writing to these people who kind of saw themselves as people who had it together, generally right. speaking, like we have a relationship with God, other people. And so him reminding, no, don't you guys remember that every year an animal died
right.
so that to atone for your sin. Do you not remember that? Do you remember blood being spilled?
Yes.
To atone for your sin. And remember the blood is most recently that's been spilled. The blood that was spilled that was once and for all time was the blood of God's Son, Jesus. Like the Word who was with God, who was before God, who is, you know, that God himself put flesh on and bled
yes.
for you. So however together you think you are, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you ever forget the suffering that Jesus went through, and he went through on your behalf because you needed him to.
Yes.
You needed that rescue.
Yes.
And that's good for, I think, a lot of us who grew up in the church to remember. We need it.
It's that reminder to walk in humility.
Yes.
We've got to stay away from pride because pride comes before the fall.
Exactly. Like, yeah.
It's walking in humility and knowing that there's no way that we could have done mm-hmm. this.
Yeah.
The sacrifice of a small animal.
Yeah.
For all, like, there's no way we could have continued that.
Right.
And thought that it was going to get us anywhere.
Exactly. Yeah.
But we see Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He's the spotless lamb. He's the sacrifice. Right, he's the one that made that path possible. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so good and so important for us to remember, because I think the ones of us who are most in danger of drifting away are the ones who believe we're in no danger at all.
Oh, yes.
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's we're the ones who think, no, man, I've got this. You know, I can handle this. You know, we're the ones most in danger of drifting away. And so the author of Hebrews wants them to remember, look, you're in danger.
Yes.
You know, make sure that you're anchoring to the right thing. Make sure that you remember the sacrifice of Christ. And then it's also beautiful because I know there are people listening right now, Beth, I know, who, you know, have just gone through or are going through some really, really dark and painful circumstances. And
right.
Some of that may have to do with their own choices. Okay. Like, and if that's you, if you're out there, don't hear me say that in a condemning way at all.
Right.
I have been in really dark places because of my own choices. And there's not a person listening to this podcast who hasn't at some point in life been there, right?
Right.
But some of you may be in that moment right now, you know, or maybe you've just gone through a moment, right? What was very painful, very difficult because of choices you made. Sometimes you're going through very difficult, very painful circumstances because of something, choices that other people made. You had nothing to do with it.
Right.
It choices other people made that then affected you, that impacted you.
Yes.
Things that were even done to you, right? Some of us are going through really difficult, painful circumstances because of that. And the beautiful thing about the gospel and that the writer of Hebrews wants to just shine a bright light on right here is that if we are in really painful, difficult circumstances, mm-hmm. if we are in the midst of suffering, we have a Savior who knows exactly what that feels like.
Right.
He's totally been there. And he relates to us in that way. He's not this distant God who lives up in the cosmos. He relates to us in that way. He suffered as we have suffered.
Right.
You know? And I know for me and Beth, that part of the gospel really resonates with us because to know that in our suffering, that Jesus knows exactly how that feels and he relates to us in that
right.
suffering. And his rescue is delivered in the midst of our suffering because he went through that same thing, you know? And I think that's an important and a beautiful thing for us to remember. So if you're discouraged out there, if you're feeling, you know, like you're going through a really dark time, you can't really see the other side of it, you know, just know that in the midst of this dark time, Jesus has experienced suffering like that. He loves you and he's with you.
Absolutely.
You
know?
So... I think that's a good thing for us to remember. Any last words from Hebrews chapter 2?
No, I think that pretty much covers it.
Yeah, boy. I didn't really think through this a lot. I can't really claim much credit, but there's probably not a better chapter of Hebrews for you and I to sit down and talk about. You know what I'm saying?
That's the truth.
You know? Because this conversation around Hebrews is one that we've had so many times, you know, and such gratitude for what Christ, you know, has done for us, what he subjected himself to on our behalf.
Yes.
And so anyway, I know we've had all kinds of conversation about that and it's good. I don't know what's making me say this, but before we end, I want to say this too, because I feel like, I don't know why, but I feel like someone's going to hear this and need it. I think it's important to remember too that like there was this aspect where Jesus, I think Jesus chose to walk the path that he walked, knowing that it was going to end poorly, right?
Right.
But what happened to him? Sometimes we forget what happened to him was done to him.
Yes.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
It was done to him. He didn't walk through that suffering because of sin or rebellion in his life. He didn't deserve what happened to him.
Absolutely not.
He chose the path that he walked on, but what happened to him, Beth, was done to him.
Yes.
And so a lot of us live in a world where we carry that around too, right? Stuff was done to us. We mm-hmm. didn't choose it. We didn't, it was done to us.
Yes.
And sometimes that burden is heavy and it's dark and it can lead us to really dark places.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know, right, that freedom comes through Christ, that Christ offers freedom.
Yes.
You know, that's the whole message of the gospel. But if you're out there right now and that's where you're living, like I'm in this dark place. These things were done to me. I didn't choose this, right? It was done to me. And you're carrying that baggage around. And you maybe can't even right now get your head or your thought or your hope to there's freedom. Okay.
Right.
I'm not asking you to go there. I just want you to just stop and consider that the God of the universe allowed things to be done to him so that you could know that you're not alone.
Right.
And maybe that's an encouragement to somebody.
Absolutely. It can be so isolating to walk that path and feel like you're walking it alone.
Oh my gosh.
If the world has done you wrong, which the world, things happen all the time.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
If we're walking on that path, it's such an isolating experience. And I think it's important for us to remember again that this is a communal message.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to remember our community
and
know that there are people in our circles who have walked some of the same paths that we have.
Mm-hmm.
I would never expect that you and I have walked some of the same paths, but we have.
Yeah.
And knowing that makes it easier for me.
Yes.
To trust those circles of people.
Yeah, right. No doubt.
To know that I have these brothers and sisters, this family that goes deeper than I could ever imagine.
Yeah, yes.
It's not isolating.
Right.
It's isolating because we allow it to be.
Yeah. It's isolating because we assume sometimes that we're the only one who's experienced this darkness or this pain. Right. And so we tend to just, you know, to kind of, and we don't want to share it with anybody for whatever reason. There's all kinds of reasons we don't want to share, but we'll just hold it inside and we'll isolate. No one else knows what this feels like, you know?
Yes.
And when we allow the Holy Spirit to start to draw us into connection with other people, we realize, no, there are all these other people that we didn't expect that know exactly what that feels like, right? They've been through some of the same things. And then the ultimate truth is, we serve a God who knows what it feels like.
Yes.
Yes. The ultimate not being alone. Like, you know what I mean? We serve a God who knows what it feels like to be subjected to hurt and to heartache, not out of our own will, but because this world does that to people sometimes. And man, what a powerful thing for, you know, what a hopeful thing. So even if you can't imagine that there's freedom from the darkness and the hurt and the shame and everything that you're experiencing right now, even if you can't imagine that right now, I want you to know it's true, okay?
Yes.
But I understand that when I say that to you, it sounds trite, okay? So I'm not asking you to imagine that. I'm just asking you to come face to face with the truth that Jesus Christ suffered and died at the hands of humans. He didn't choose it, right? He didn't do it to himself, right? Those things weren't the direct result of his actions. He didn't deserve anything that happened to him. Mm-hmm. It was done to him.
Right.
Jesus Christ knows exactly how you feel. And if maybe we can just start there, let's start there. Then maybe eventually we can get to the hope and freedom, you know, that comes from relationship with Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Man. Just a side, random thought, but are there resources? Let's pretend like, and I know there's somebody listening to the podcast because the Holy Spirit like stuck that in my head and heart. If there's somebody out there right now who's just kind of like drowning in the weight of that hurt, shame, darkness, you know, that that comes from like dealing with stuff that's happened to you, right? Are there? And I'm putting you totally on the spot. Are there resources that you know of that a person could reach out to? Is there, and if you can't think of anything right now, you can email it to me and I'll put links to whatever you send me in the description.
Okay.
So if you can't think of anything right now, say I'll send it to you later and that's fine too. But is there anything you can think of?
There are plenty out there, but off the top of my head, because you did put
me on
the spot.
Yes, I know, totally on the spot. That was the worst thing I could do.
I don't have a lot of them on my brain.
That's okay.
But it's important to reach out to counselors too.
Yeah,
I mean, there's a counseling network that you can reach out to.
Yeah.
I know your church keeps a network, correct?
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
we
have
a list.
Yeah, yeah.
But talking to your ministers and helping just to open that door.
Yeah. Yeah,
lessening that isolation.
Well, and some of you guys don't know, because we do, like, we gave like the briefest biography of Beth that you could ever give. Like, it was totally a disservice to her, actually. But you've actually done a lot. You worked in a suicide hotline for a while.
Yeah,
like, you've counseled with people many times in your life. You've counseled
absolutely.
With people who have been through abuse, who have been through all kinds of trauma.
Right.
And so anyway, so As you think about it over the course of the next couple of days, if there's a resource, a place that we could direct people that you want to send me, I'll link to it in the description. Okay.
Perfect.
But also I want to tell you that in the description of this episode, there's a link to our prayer request line. Mm. We want to pray for you. Our church wants to pray for you. So maybe this stirred something up in your heart and you need some prayer right now. Just click on that link and please send us a prayer request. I want to assure you that we pray for every request that comes through. Right. So, and some of them are crazy. Okay, we get some unbelievable prayer requests. So, but we pray for all of them. So send us a prayer request if that's kind of stirred up anything in you. And also, if you're a member of our faith community, or even if you're not, if you're in proximity in any way, like Beth said, we have a list of counselors that we refer people to all over the Lubbock area. And so if you're just kind of looking for some resources there, we would love to help you with that as well. So you can call the church office, you can send us an email, and we'd be happy. And we'll have a link to our website where you can find all that information. But reach out to us because we do want to help any way that we can.
Absolutely.
All right. Man, Beth, it is such a pleasure. One of these days, we're going to have, because we also do a podcast called First Things First, which is where people just kind of share their faith story and talk about how they came to faith in Christ and share how that journey has gone, throughout their life. And so one of these days we're going to have you to do that podcast.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I know you're thinking, man, I don't know, Brad. So, but I would love that because I think the main reason is because all you out there listening, you really need to, I'd like for you to know Beth better because she's just such a joy and example, illustration of God's faithfulness.
Illustration is a good word. Yeah. I am definitely an illustration.
but in my life, a person who has challenged me and inspired me to follow after Christ more sincerely. And I know she will be that way for any of you guys who, if you got to know her. So you'd love to hear more of Beth's story. I'm telling you, it's a good story. So, and it's still being written, which is even better, right?
Yes.
So thank you so much, Beth, for spending this time together. It's fun to sit and talk Bible with you. So
I enjoyed it, Brad.
All right. Well, we'll do it again sometime. I wish you guys could see the look that Beth was giving me when I was like, we'll do it again sometime. She was like, oh, Brad. So, but anyway, it was a lot of fun. So, guys, I hope you're excited about reading Hebrews chapter 2. It is, it's really, there's so much rich, deep stuff in there. I can't wait for you to get into it. But make sure that you open your Bibles this week. Make sure that you dig into the scripture. Make sure you allow the Holy Spirit to guide you and direct you. Because Beth and I believe that when you engage with scripture on a regular basis, it changes your life. It changes everything about who you are. So we want that for you, okay? So make sure that you're digging into this passage, and we'll be back next week with another podcast and another section of Hebrews to read. Until then, keep diving in. Have a great time digging into God's Word this week. The Deep Dive Podcast is a ministry of First Baptist Church Shallow Water. Check out the description of this episode for a link to the reading plan, our church's website, and more. Remember, God is good, and His word is true. Keep diving in.